Lord Shelton Smith. Why I will vote on November 8th by Dr. Shelton Smith. Doctor? Get out the stethoscope. But anyway, with the 2016 national election fast approaching on November 8th, I continue to hear folks saying that they're not going to vote. What they don't seem to understand is that if you refuse to vote, that is your vote. No, Shelton, you're the one who doesn't seem to understand that. Because you just said people are refusing to vote, but then you turned around and said that by not voting, that is their vote. Okay, well then I'm voting. By refusing to vote, that is my vote. So I guess I can just stay home and just put on a sticker that says I voted today. And let me just make it real clear where I stand. I'm not voting in this election. I didn't vote in the last election. I'm probably never going to vote again in my life. So this isn't me being political or politicizing. Let me just make it real clear. I couldn't care less about this election. It's meaningless to me. It means absolutely nothing to me. I don't even care. It means less than nothing to me. I mean, I'm thinking about all the things that are important to me over the next few weeks, the next few months, all the things that matter to me, all the things that I want to happen and don't want to happen, and this doesn't even come into my mind. So don't, you know, this is not a political sermon. I couldn't care less about politics. They're meaningless to me. What they don't seem to understand is that if you refuse to vote, that is your vote. Yeah, I know. When any of us is a no-show at the ballot box, the worst candidate is the one that you've helped. In a very real way, your vote counts whether or not you go to the polls. Well, it sounds like I'm fine then. The question you must answer is, do you want your vote to help create the worst possible outcome? If you think all the candidates are the same, you're greatly mistaken. Just look at the party platforms. They're as different as daylight and dark, good and evil. Those platforms are not perfect, but they give you a pretty good idea of what you're going to get if you vote for their candidates. Yeah, in what universe does the platform give you an idea of what you're going to get if they actually get elected? When has that ever happened? And look, you say, well, I'm mad because I'm a Republican, or I'm mad because I'm a Democrat. Look, just forget about all that for a second. When has anybody ever done what they said they were going to do when they get elected from either party? Yeah, but if you read the platform, you're going to get a pretty good idea of what you're going to get. Right. I've been to the polls on previous occasions through the years when I wasn't particularly excited about my choices, but I went out and I voted, and on November 8th, I'll cast my vote again, and I'll do so without hesitation. Here's why, and he's got a list of reasons why he's going to vote. Number one, so much is at stake. Our country's in a super colossal mess. We are teetering on the brink, socially, economically, and morally. The last few years have brought us to the edge of the cliff where one wrong step could be totally disastrous. With so much at stake, I'm going to vote. Well, here's the thing about that. In this article, it's crystal clear who he's telling you to vote for. If you read the whole, you'll see as I read this thing. It's crystal clear who he's telling you to vote for. It's not Hillary. He's telling you to vote for Donald Trump. That's what this article is about, why you should go vote for Donald Trump. Anybody can read that. It's very clear. So, I mean, with so much at stake morally, how could you not vote for Donald Trump? Right? I mean, come on. With so much at stake in our country morally, how could you not vote for a beacon of morality like Donald Trump? I mean, because we'd hate for that other, you know, filthy, perverted woman to get in there. Look, and here's the thing. They're all wicked. Yeah. Trump, Hillary, Gary Johnson's a fake libertarian. He's wicked. They're all wicked. I'm not voting for any of them. They're all terrible. They're all horrible. And you know what's funny? If you would have asked somebody from these churches, if you would have asked this guy, if you would have asked the pastors who are with him and who are saying the same thing right now,
If you were to ask them 3 years ago, hey, what do you think about Donald Trump? Before he was running for office, you know what they'd say? Oh, man, he's a dirtbag. He's a scumbag. He's sleazy. He owns a strip club. He owns casinos. He makes all his money off gambling and ruining people's lives with casinos. Listen, casinos ruin people's lives. And if you don't know that, that's not my fault. But they ruin people's lives. Anybody who's been involved in a casino knows that. They used to be run by only criminals and gangsters and mafia, the Jewish mafia, Italian mafia, right? That's who ran it, a bunch of murderers and wicked, filthy people. It's one of the most wicked, godless industries that there is, casinos. All this financial wheeling and dealing, all this usury, and all this stuff. Look, it's wicked. Amen. Anybody would have said, this guy's sleazy, this guy's wicked. But now all of a sudden it's like, with so much at stake morally, how could we stay home? We got to support Trump, right? I mean, with so much at stake socially, economically, and morally, I mean, we got it. We're going to go off the cliff. No, we already went off the cliff morally, number one. But number two is socially? What's he going to do for us socially? What does that even mean? I mean, whatever Trump's doing socially, I'm not into it. You know, I mean, what kind of social skills are we talking about here? And don't you come at me. Listen to me, you little Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck, Rush Limbaugh head. Coming at me, you little ditto head. Coming at me with, you know, telling me, look, why don't you shut off that stupid talk radio and why don't you read the book of Psalms and read the book of Proverbs and you might actually learn that everyone that is proud is an abomination to the Lord. Amen. And Donald Trump is the most prideful, arrogant person on the planet.
Right.
Even his supporters would admit that. And everyone that's proud is an abomination to the Lord.
Amen.
Except Donald Trump. He's going to fix us morally and socially. But they come at you with, you're just mad about what he said 11 years ago or whatever. You know, he says that kind of stuff every year, every month. There are thousands of quotes like that from the guy. I mean, I can't even talk about it from the pulpit because it's so filthy. I mean, just look, do a little research, and there's just, the guy, just filth pours out of his mouth just every year. I mean, the guy just openly committing adultery, openly bragging about adultery, bragging about fornication, bragging about perverted things that he's been involved. I can't even mention it. It's a shame to even speak of those things which are done to them in secret. But this guy sends this to my house, and you think he's the only one? Independent Fundamental Baptist pastors all over America are promoting this guy to me and promoting this guy to their congregations. Hey, we need to support this wicked strip club-owning, casino-owning freak, this scumbag, this dirtbag, because otherwise the world's going to come to an end or something if we don't. But you know what? They said the same thing in 2008. They said the same thing in 2012. And you know what? The world didn't come to an end. And we're still here. And you know, he said, oh, the worst possible outcome. And if you read his article, it's clear he's promoting a certain candidate, Trump. And he's attacking another candidate, Hillary. I'll attack them all. They're all scum. They're all disgusting. I'm not going to vote for any of them. I'm not going to vote, period. Voting only encourages them. But he sits there, and they said the same thing in 08. They said the same thing in 2000. Isn't that the definition of insanity when you keep doing the same thing and expect a different result? They always bring out some candidate that we all hate, that we're all disgusted with, and to vote for him anyway. Now, I got to hurry. I want to crank through this article real quick. I'm making too much comment. That was only point one. Point two in his article, I love my country. When I see the red, white, and blue waving in the wind, I want to sing, oh, say, can you see? And pledge my allegiance to one nation under God. I know something about our history and our heritage. I'm aware of the blood, sweat, and tears of patriots handed me the freedom I've inherited. No, God gave me the freedom I inherited. I thought it comes from the Creator, but, you know, what do I know? Whether I'm on the mountains or the Great Plains or at the ocean, this beautiful land is my country. I'm an American, I'm a citizen, and I'm a patriot. Hey, newsflash, every country's beautiful, the part that God made.
Mexico's beautiful. Germany's beautiful. Botswana's beautiful. I mean, every country's beautiful if it's the part that God made. It's the sin that's disgusting.
Right.
Yeah, nature's beautiful. Yep. So let's go vote because nature. Why should we? What, like politicians are what gave us mountains and oceans and streams in America. Vote. I'm voting because nature. Okay, number three. Okay, and this is the one that just got me burned up. I'm voting number three because I'm a Christian. Listen to this. My Christian convictions and my moral scruples will not permit me to sit it out as an ambassador for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:20. I have an obligation to be found faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. My Bible says that I'm to adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Well, that's real relevant to voting. Now listen to me, O thou who's offended by my sermon. Why don't you come up here? There's what, 250-some people here tonight? Why don't you come up here and show me the verse that tells me I'm supposed to vote? Since you don't like what I'm preaching right now. Why don't you come show me where I'm supposed to vote for anybody? Where the Bible commands me to vote for anybody. Where it's my Christian duty and obligation to vote for anybody. Come show me right now. I dare anyone to come show me. Come on up. Well, yeah, but we're an ambassador for Christ. Oh, well, okay. Yeah, case closed. What does being an ambassador for Christ have to do with voting? And somebody, what is adorning the doctrine of God, our Savior, and all things have to do with voting for Trump? Can somebody explain that? What does being found faithful mean to go vote? What?
I simply cannot remain silent in the midst of the crisis. My Christian witness must be expressed every day in whatever way that day affords.
So because I'm a Christian, I'm going to vote on November 8th. So we're a bad testimony if we don't go vote, apparently, according to this guy.
Number four, the Supreme Court will be reshaped by the incoming president. With the death of Justice Scalia, there's already one vacancy. During the next 4 years, several aging justices will most likely be replaced. When you vote for president, you're voting for the philosophic makeup of the Supreme Court and much of the federal judiciary. As we've seen on the marriage issue, what the liberals could never have won in an up or down vote at the ballot box, they won easily with so many liberal judges do their bidding.
What about all the liberals that the Republicans put on the Supreme Court, huh? What about Sandra Day O'Connor? What about John Roberts? What about all the other bunch of liberal phonies that were put there by Republicans?
Oh, well, you know.
Number five, the liberal revolution is destroying us. I'm not a liberal. I'm against liberals. So I wonder which candidate he's telling us to vote for, right?
I'm not a liberal. I'm against liberals. Whoever they are and whatever they are calling themselves, they're the enemies of America, and they're my enemies. Abortion, infanticide, euthanasia, assisted suicide, big government, deficit spending, sodomite marriage, men and women's restrooms, all of this is the handiwork of the liberal crowd.
Oh, really? That's funny, because when George Bush had a Republican House and a Republican Senate, they did nothing to stop abortion when he controlled the whole thing. That's funny. Big government? That's funny because Ronald Reagan tripled the size of our government. Sorry to mess with your idol there. He tripled the size of the government. He deficit spent. Okay, what about George Bush, who deficit spending, huge government, big deficit spending, sodomite marriage. Yeah, funny because the Republican candidate, Donald Trump, said that he's better for the LGBT than Hillary is. He said, I'm more pro-LGBT than Hillary. I'll do more for them. Look, folks, this is just a crock when they tell you that, oh, the Republicans are going to save us and fix everything. You know what? Honestly, and I preached about this when I was up in Vancouver, Washington, but listen, your independent fundamental Baptists today, they shouldn't even be called Baptists. They should be called independent fundamental Republicans.
That's right.
Because anything that they preach that's hard preaching, they only preach hard about stuff that the Republican Party platform agrees with them on.
See, these guys are all big and listen, you listen up to me right now. Don't you zone out on me. Listen, these guys, they preach all big and tough when they have 100 million Republicans behind them. Then they'll preach hard. When they have 100 million Republicans behind them cheering them on, that's why in this whole newspaper, there are probably, you know, 10 articles on transgender bathrooms and sodomite marriage, but they'll never preach what the Bible says about homosexuality. Never. They'll never preach it. That's why when they list all the evils, they list sodomite marriage and men and women's restrooms. Now, where does the Bible mention a man and a woman's restroom? Can somebody help me out with that? Oh, it's not there? Where does the Bible mention sodomite marriage? Nowhere. So instead of listing as the big evils, sodomite marriage, how about just legal sodomy? How about just being a homo in general? See, the Bible says that homos are disgusting and filthy and wicked. That's what the Bible says, but they don't teach that. And the Bible used the word filthy. The Bible used the word vile. The Bible says that they're an abomination. The Bible says they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. The Bible says that they're reprobate. The Bible says God gave them over to a reprobate mind. But these guys will never preach that, but they talk on and on about bathrooms. And they talk on and on about sodomite marriage. Why? Because that's what the Republican Party's talking about. That's what Sean Hannity's talking about. That's what Glenn Beck's talking about. That's all they take a stand for. And so to them, it's just, I mean, when they look at that Republican Party platform, it's like light versus darkness, good versus evil. No, it isn't. It's Coke versus Pepsi. That's what it really is. It's the same drink. Caramel color, high fructose corn syrup, and brown whatever coloring, you know. But the Bible says here, or not the Bible. I'm going to get to the Bible in a moment. Let me finish this article here. The liberals are destroying us. Well, you know what? The conservatives are destroying us too. Why? Because none of them are taking it to the Bible. None of them are moral. I mean, when both of them are committing adultery, when both of them are wicked, when both of them won't take a stand for Christian values, then, you know, who cares at that point? They're all wicked. And you know what? In the 1990s, when Bill Clinton was committing adultery in the White House on the job, everybody was horrified by that. You remember that? Is that too long ago? You remember back in the 1990s, 20-some years ago, when people were horrified and they said, he's dragging the office of president and it's a disgrace. But when a Republican does it, it's fine. Right? If Trump is committing adultery repeatedly with these young women, that's fine. If he's abusing his power as a business owner with younger women, that's fine. If he owns a strip club and a casino, that's fine. That's all fine. Well, you know what? God's not a respecter of persons. And if it was wicked for Bill Clinton, it's wicked for Donald Trump, because adultery is wicked, period. And no adulterer should have the support of God's house and churches. And then these people whine about, oh, the 501c3 doesn't let us endorse candidates, because they're all chomping at the bit to endorse Donald Trump. So they have to do it in like code language. This code language here. Why would you want to endorse this adulterous scumbag? He's wicked. He's an unrepentant, filthy, wicked person. Amen. I want nothing to do with it. Amen. And this all ties in with the sermon. Just hang in there. I'll get there. Number 6, one vote can be the decider. That's a lie. No election in this country has ever been decided by one vote. That's a lie. I'm not even going to dignify that with any comments. It's stupid and untrue. There's 300 and some million people in our country, and it's not decided by one vote, and never has been, and he's a liar. The closest ever was decided by like a couple hundred votes in the Florida, you know, the hanging Chad and all that. Oh, but thank God we ended up with Bush. Dodged a bullet on that one. I mean, imagine, the other guy might have tripled the size of government. Oh, yeah, that's what he did. Abortion might have continued. Oh, yeah, it did. It might have filled the White House with sodomite employees. Oh, yeah, Bush did. He might have walked around holding hands with the president of Saudi Arabia. Oh, yeah, that happened. Anyway, and then number 7, he says, I refuse to give up.
I'm not a quitter. The day may be dark, but I'm an emissary of him who is the light of the world. I will not forfeit the birthright of my citizenship by refusing to vote. I will not forego the privilege to vote simply because the candidates do not suit me perfectly. So count me in. I will be there. I will figure out who the worst candidate is, and I will vote against him or her. Hint, it's her. But believe you me, I will be there ready to do business on November 8th. I'm well aware that the great need of our country is revival. I know that we need a generation of leather-lunged, spirit-filled, Bible-believing preachers to barnstorm across this country making converts. I know that we need thousands of fundamental, doctrinally sound, soul-winning, separated churches who will have a compelling presence in their town. I know that we need to see a fire from heaven revival break out across the land. I know these things, and I pray and work diligently for them. But this is the most telling paragraph. But let there be no mistake. If the liberals get their way, and if our freedom is stripped from us, none, and I do mean none, of these things will be happening. If our freedom is gone, we will be driven into hiding, and the work of God will be shut down across the nation. You know what? Speak for yourself, Shelton Smith, because you know what? I'm not going into hiding, buddy. I'll never go into hiding. You're already hiding.
Yeah, that's right.
They're worried about Hillary and her hate speech legislation. They never preach any hate anyway. What are they worried about? They call me hate preacher. They don't preach any hate. They only preach that which is Republican. That which is politically correct for the conservatives. That's all they preach. Do you like, I mean, look, the persecution hasn't even come yet. He's already talking about hiding. I mean, listen. Listen to this. If the liberals get their way, and if our freedom is stripped from us, none, and I do mean none of those things will be happening. What are the things that he mentioned? Preachers preaching and soul winning going on. All the soul winning and all the preaching is going to stop, he said, if the liberals get their way, because we're going to be driven into hiding, and the work of God's is going to be shut down. No, it's not. They're never going to shut me down.
Amen.
Now, look. I do believe it's biblical if the persecution gets too great to where you just can't, operate to go to another city. The Bible says if they persecute you in this city, flee into another. If they persecute you in one country, I think it'd be biblical to go to a different country. But the Bible never tells a man of God to go into hiding. He said, preach from the housetops.
Amen.
I mean, is that what Peter, James, and John did? Did they go into hiding? They went and stuck their finger in the face of those government officials and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And then they're whipped and beaten, and then they go preach it again the next day. Then they're thrown in jail. The angel lets them out of jail, and then they go preach it again. They get thrown in jail again. They preach it again. Thrown in jail again. Preach it again. Get out of jail. Go to another city. Preach there. Get thrown. Look, has anybody ever counted how many times they go to jail in Acts? It's like every chapter. It's a jailbreak story. They're breaking out of jail. The angel's getting them out of jail. They're getting thrown in jail almost every chapter. These guys are never going to get thrown in jail. Because whenever something becomes illegal, they just hide it. Hide it under a bushel? No. I'm going to let it shine. You know, and I remember they taught me this thing when I was a kid. They said, oh, you know, the early Christians, they use that fish symbol. You know, Dagon, the fish god. Oh, this is what they do. They'd walk up to each other. You heard, yeah, I know Garrett's heard this because he went to seminary. They'd walk up and one of them would kind of go, make half the symbol, you know, kind of like testing the waters. And if the other person was a Christian, they'd come up and go, we found each other. Hey, you listen to me and you listen good. Until I die, I'm going to walk up to people and I'm not going to draw a fish on the ground or a half a fish and let them draw the other half to make sure they're already a Christian. Until I die, until my last beating breath, I will walk up to people and say, do you know for sure if you died, you'd go to heaven?
Amen.
I'm going to walk up to strangers for the rest of my life.
I'm going to either knock doors or walk up and down the highways and hedges, and I'm going to confront strangers and say, do you know for sure if you died today that you'd go to heaven? And if I can't do it here, I'll go somewhere else and do it. And if I can't do it anywhere, then I'll just keep doing it until I get thrown in prison and they can kill me and beat me and do whatever they want, but I will never stop soul winning, and I will never stop preaching the word of God, and I will never go into hiding. For more than just a couple of days just to get from one country or town to another. I'm not going to go hide. So why would we go hide? And then people are storing up a bunch of food to go hide out in the woods during the tribulation. I'm not going to hide during the tribulation. Amen. Why? Why would you go hide? If you know that you're almost to the second coming of Christ, if he's coming in a few weeks anyway, if he's coming in a month or two anyway, then why? Oh, I'm just going to go hide so I can be alive when he gets here. No, why don't we go get some more rewards before he gets here?
Amen.
Why don't we win one more person to Christ before he gets here? If we're going to die or be raptured anyway, who? What's the difference? It's for me to live as Christ and to die as gain.
Amen.
Go out with a bang. No, we're all going to be sent into hiding. Only Trump can save us now. Obi-Wan Trump, you're our only hope. Save us. Save us from the Hillary Death Star. Look, it's going to blow up our whole planet. It's all going to explode. You know what? Listen to me. This is stupid. Like, oh, it's all hanging in the balance. No, no, no. This election has nothing to do with our nation morally. Look. Let me just make this real clear. The problem with our country is not in the White House, it's in the church house.
Right.
If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Look, if our problem is morally, if our country is morally wicked, if abortion, sodomy, murder, drunkenness abound, no matter who's in the White House, God can't bless us. He can't bless. And if we get right with God, we'll get the leaders that reflect that. God will bless us with good leaders because a bad leader is a curse. A good leader is a blessing. When you look at these two worthless pieces of dung that are the major candidates, and then if you look at the worthless pieces of dung that are the third party candidates, then just look at that and say, this is what God believes that we deserve in our country as our leader. This is who should be leading us. So I'm not on all pins and needles about who wins. And you know what? Maybe it's better if Hillary just wins. Maybe that's better. Maybe it was better that Obama won. Why? Because it's better the devil we know than the devil we don't know. Look, he says we're on the brink of going off the cliff economically in this country. Well, I hope we do go off the cliff. In fact, I think I'm going to pray that the finances in this country tank and that we go into a recession. Let's start praying for a recession. Let's pray for a drought. Let's pray for a famine. Then maybe we could be like Elijah, who prayed that it wouldn't rain for 3 years and 6 months.
Amen.
Why? Because it brought a nation to their knees and turned them back to God, and then they got saved and went to heaven when they died.
Amen.
But when people are prosperous and when everything's going good, then they eat, drink, and they're merry, and they go into wickedness, and they get prideful. Hey, maybe our country needs to be brought to its knees. Maybe our country needs to be humbled. Maybe bad things need to happen. Maybe our country just needs to be pushed off the cliff economically so that people, maybe if they're poor, maybe they'll be poor in spirit and maybe they'll actually listen to the word of God.
Amen.
I mean, look, my grandpa was a wealthy man. He was a prosperous man, but he was unsaved. And my grandma prayed that God would do whatever it took to get him saved. And she said, God, if it means losing everything, it means losing all his money, get him saved. And you know what? He lost all his money. He was never wealthy again, but he got saved and he became a soul winner.
Amen.
Oh, but we need Trump to fix the economy. No, let the economy go down the toilet.
Amen.
Let people in this country miss some meals. Let's all be poor in this country. Let's all suffer. We deserve to suffer when we're a wicked country.
Right.
when we're morally repugnant in the sight of God. And maybe then, you know, you know what I've noticed? Hey, Brother Garrett likes to go soul winning a lot. What's a more receptive area, a poor neighborhood or a rich neighborhood? You like going and soul winning in the poor neighborhoods? Hey, what if God just turns this whole city into a poor neighborhood? That'd be some cool soul winning, huh? Maybe God can just turn the whole United States into Botswana's level of prosperity. Then we could save the plane ticket to Botswana and have receptive soul winning right here. But you know what? These people are just so brainwashed. And you know what? The guy that they're looking toward as their savior, he's obsessed with one thing, money, the love of money. And you know what? The love of money is the root of all evil. And you know what? Hey, look, I don't want to be dirt poor. I don't want to suffer. But you know what? If God needs me to be poor, and if God needs me to be suffering, and if God needs me to skip a meal, then you know what? That's up to him. I'll leave that up to him. And you know what? If God wants our country to become poor so we can win more souls, then so be it. Amen. Amen. And you know, if Hillary's going to come in and destroy our country, well, maybe it just needs to be destroyed by her. Yeah. Let her ruin it. That's what we deserve. Sorry, am I making too much sense tonight? But you're listening to a bunch of Mormon talk radio hosts. You're listening to a bunch of Jews on the radio. You're listening to a bunch of Catholics on the radio. You need to listen to the Word of God. The Word of God says that it's not about money and it's not about prosperity. It's about blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We'd be better off poor. It's better to have a dinner of herbs and love and the love of Christ in our hearts than a stalled ox and hatred therewith, than a bunch of sin and wickedness. Look, it's better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling and rebellious woman, right? Why? Because there's more things to life than just being in a wide house. Yeah, what if you're in a wide house and your wife's a pain in the neck? You'd be happier in a tiny apartment with a wife that loves you. That's what the Bible says. See, there's more to life than just money and prosperity. You know, you can be happy with less. I can be happy with less. And you know what? God would if God could bless us and have us have prosperity and we could be righteous, so much the better. But you know what? If this country has to be brought to its knees financially, amen. Amen. Let's see what the Bible says about Donald Trump. Go to Psalms chapter 40. Go to Psalm 40. Look, Psalms and Proverbs are the two key books if you're confused on this subject. Psalms and Proverbs will drive this in literally hundreds of times if you study them. And let me just say again, this is not a political sermon. And it's sad that I have to say this because whenever I've said anything negative about Trump in my personal life, people are like, so you support Hillary? How can I support someone as wicked and godless and abominable as Hillary? How could I support that effeminate geek, Gary Johnson, who's a total fake, he's not even a real libertarian. I don't even know, how does he even call himself libertarian? Okay, these, I don't support any of them. And I don't care about the election. This sermon is not, I'm not trying to get you to go vote for this person or vote for that person. I'm trying to get you to understand that our country is in such bad shape and our churches are in such bad shape that this is what's on the cover of the Sword of the Lord, is to tell us to vote for this pornographer, this strip club owner, this filthy adulterer who brags about it. Okay? That's what I'm saying. That's what they want. You know, and then you go to the noteworthy news and they have like 20-some news items. It's all just Republican talking points. It's all it is. You know, what about the noteworthy news? This person wasn't forced to pledge allegiance in a school. Isn't that terrible that they weren't forced to pledge allegiance to the flag? This person got picked on in their school for giving the gospel. Funny, they didn't think it was news when we went to Botswana, had 600 and some people saved so far and counting. Because there's still people that we've won to Christ over there are still there sowing. Look, I just got an email today from somebody in South Africa that said, hey, since the soul winning marathon, my family and I have won a total of 18 people to the Lord in South Africa, in Pretoria. Okay, but here's the thing. Going to South Africa, going to Botswana, and getting hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people saved, lighting a soul-winning fire over there, and getting thrown out by the government. Independent Baptist missionaries are thrown out by the government. That's not news to these people, even though it was on the BBC, CNN, Huffington Post. It's all over every media outlet in Africa. It's not news to them. No. The news to the sword of the Lord is that some little girl pledged allegiance in some classroom somewhere, or didn't, to the flag. Got our priorities all wrong, people. You get off the political bandwagon, get on the Lord's bandwagon. Amen. Everyone that's proud is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Psalm 40, verse 4. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. Remember Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord. And respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Go to Psalm 119. I'll read for you from Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride, arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Psalm 119, verse 21. Thou hast rebuked the pride that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Go to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. While you're turning there, I'll read for you from Psalm chapter 10, where the Bible reads, for the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. Should we bless the covetous? Whom the Lord abhorreth? The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. And you know this wicked person, Trump? What's your favorite Bible verse, Donald Trump? All of them. You know what that means? None of them. I mean, at least Bill Clinton had the decency to say, oh, I love John 16:3. Oh, me and Hillary just love John 16:3. You know, he meant John 3:16, folks. But John 16:3 says, these things will they do unto you because they've known neither me nor the Father. That's his favorite, you know. Hey. He said he also said he really liked the book of 2 Corinthians. Hey, there's no book in the Bible called 2 Corinthians, buddy. It's called 2 Corinthians, all right? Oh, yeah, I love 2 Corinthians. Yeah, the whole Bible. Whole Bible's my favorite book. Where did I have you turn? Proverbs 11, look at verse 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. Look at chapter 16, verse 19. While you're turning there, I'll read Isaiah chapter 2. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought lo, Isaiah 13:11, I'll punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity, and I'll cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. And no one would disagree that Donald Trump is the most prideful and arrogant person on the planet. Even his supporters say, well, yeah, I know he's like that, but we like it. Well, you know what? God hates it. Proverbs 16:19, better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil. What spoil? Riches. With the proud. You know, somebody should have told that to all of his ex-wives or his current wife or however many wives he's had, not to mention all his concubines and adulterous liaisons. But, you know, it's better to be humble with the lowly than to divide up the spoil with the proud, you gold-digging whore. Right? Dividing up the spoil with a guy like Donald Trump. They didn't marry him for his looks, folks. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 4, a high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Go to Psalms, if you would. Flip back to Psalms. I just want to crank through these scriptures. Go to Psalm 26. Psalm 26. I'm going to tie this all together in a minute. I have pages and pages of notes that I'm not going to get to, but it's just one of those days. But look at Psalm 26, verse 4. I've not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I've hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord. Go to chapter 28, just a few pages to the right in verse 3. Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands. Render to them their desert, because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands. He shall destroy them and not build them up. Go to chapter 36, verse 1. While you're turning there, Psalm 12, verse 8 says, the wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. Look at Psalm 36, verse 1. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there's no fear of God before his eyes, for he flattereth himself in his own eyes. Does that sound like anybody you know? Till his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He'd left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Go to chapter 37, verse 16. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. Look at verse 21. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. You know, and I have pages of notes on Trump borrowing and paying not again through his bankruptcies and, you know, all the different things that he's done there with all of his casinos and strip clubs and wicked places that he owned and all these different investments. You know, but I'm out of time for all that. Look, there's plenty of Bible that tells us what God thinks about the proud, the haughty, the arrogant, the wicked, the ungodly, the adulterous man. The Bible's real clear that we should have nothing to do with them, that we should have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but that we should rather reprove them. But all this newspaper article comes down to from the sword of the Lord is just a leaning on our own understanding that says, well, here's what we have to do to save our nation. Go to this wicked man and he's going to save it. When the Bible told us how to save it and had nothing to do with him. Listen to me. You can go down and vote for whoever you want to go and vote for. But let me tell you something. I'm not going to have anything to do with these wicked people and their wicked policies. I want nothing to do with it. Oh, but we have to do it to make sure that the worst possible outcome doesn't happen. You don't even know what the worst possible outcome is. How do you know whether it's God's will that one be elected or the other? How do you know? Can anybody really stand up and say, it's God's will that Trump be elected? Or it's God's will that Hillary be elected? We don't know. Because we don't know which one's going to do more damage to our country. But whichever one's going to do the most damage, that's probably the one that God's going to give us. Because God's angry. He's mad. And it all comes down to a philosophy that says that we know better than God and that we're going to just compromise and get in bed with the wicked because we just have to, okay? It's like Jehoshaphat, where he just has to team up with the king of Israel to save his nation. He has to team up with the Baal worshipers and the wicked people of the northern kingdom. It's just man compromising because he knows better than God. Let me tell you something. We need some real men of God in this nation, some Elijahs that are going to get up, and it doesn't matter whose toes they step on. Look, and I know that where you're going, they're all so full of conservative talk radio in that Tennessee, and they're all going to these churches that are pumping them up with this stuff. And you know what? We need a real man of God who's going to go in there and not tell them what they want to hear, but what they need to hear. And listen, that same philosophy can creep over into a church that says the ends justifies the means. Let's just team up with these people. No.
Richard, if you want to succeed, here's the formula to success. You trust in the Lord with all your heart. You lean not on your own understanding. You don't be wise in your own eyes. And you depart from evil. You depart from evil. You don't support evil. You don't write newspaper articles and send them around the country. Hey, support this evil guy because nature. Because the Bible said ambassador for Christ. Because the Bible said, I know it's not in the Bible, but it's America. Richard, you can't lose if God's for you. And even if you get thrown in prison, Richard, the Lord's going to be with you. Just like he was with Joseph in the prison. Just like he's with Daniel in captivity. Look, we need to decide as preachers in America that we don't fear Hillary. We don't fear Trump. We don't fear the government. We don't fear the devil. We don't fear anybody except God. Amen. Fear God. Amen. And we don't care about pleasing anybody except pleasing God. Amen. And it doesn't matter if that hair lips every dog in the county. It doesn't matter if the Republicans don't like it and the Democrats aren't going to like it and your fellow Baptists aren't going to like it and the sword of the Lord's not going to like it. You know what? Your face is probably never going to be in the sword of the Lord if you preach right. See all these faces? You're never going to be one of them. I'm never going to be one of them. And you got to choose this day whom you're going to serve, right? You got to choose, are you there to please man or are you there to please God? Are you there to live in fear and start planning the hideout when the persecution hasn't even started? And you're already planning, well, we're going to have to go into hiding. Speak for yourself. Are you going into hiding, Richard, or are you going to stand with me shoulder to shoulder rebuking sin until the bitter end? Are you going to say, well, you know, gays? Are you going to call them filthy sodomites like the Bible calls them? Right. You know, that's what we need. And you know what? Thank God that Richard is that kind of guy. And that's why we're sending him out. Because he loves soul winning. And he also doesn't just love soul winning. He also loves hard preaching. Right, Richard? And that's why he's going to do a great work in Nashville. And so all in favor of Brother Richard Miller going and starting this church in Nashville, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Listen, we're going to pray now, and we're going to pray for God's blessing upon Richard Miller as he goes out to start not just another Baptist church in the Bible Belt, but to start a leather-long, you know, the kind of church that he talks about wanting.